Hello, everybody. This is Matt Delaney. I am the host of the Matt Adapting Podcast. I just wanted to welcome all you to this audio digital space and platform. And I just wanted to thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to my very first podcast that I have launched. And it's one that is probably the deepest that I will ever have, potentially. It's regarding my Nana, Rita Delaney, passing, reflecting on her life and our relationship. I was interviewed by my dear friend, Ryan Peace Love Parker. So I want to shout out him and give him many thanks. And I want to give a shout out to my entire family. I want you to know that I love you deeply and dearly. And I hope that this next hour gives you some love, gives you some perspective, and gives you some time to just, you know, bask in the glory and remembrance of our Nana, our mom, our Rita, our Auntie Rita, and just celebrate her life. I love every one of you dearly, and I hope you enjoy the podcast. Peace.
I say it like I grew up with her. She make you feel that way when you step in the household. She was like, you know, the first time it was pre-COVID, I think, but that, in the COVID joint, cracked me and Catherine up. And she's just like, I don't care about those damn masks. Don't give me a hug. You better bring Luna inside, you know.
Yeah.
That spirit, and like when you stepped into the, I memorized the house. I never went upstairs, but I know that when you walked in that front door, like kind of to the left, you know, right to the left was a piano, and then you kind of go up those little steps and then up the staircase to the left, right?
Yeah.
But then when you took a right, you kind of walked into like a sitting living room area, and it stretched back, and then you could walk and then take a right and go out into like another little area.
It was like a porch on the side.
Yeah, like the porch.
Yeah.
But you know, she welcomed the cars for the parking, but beyond that, she kind of, not even kind of, she did. She welcomed us into her home. She would have been like, if you need to stay here and live here now, you can, you know. And yeah, so, yeah.
She was so welcoming.
Super welcoming. So I'm thankful for the gift of you in my life, who brought Nana into my life. But then I'm thankful for the gift of Nana, who brought your mom's? Is
my
that
dad.
Right?
No, it's my dad.
Your dad, who brought your dad, you know? And so you sit here in this moment, and I hope I didn't offend, because when I texted you, but I just been thinking about how you sit in this moment of loss, have an opportunity to kind of like reflect on so many gains along the way, because those are the gifts too. And that's not a superficial way to kind of like silver line anything. I'm not trying to do that. Like, I want you to feel your feelings, but it's also a part of the reality. There's like so much that's been gained, and I want to learn more about that. But first, like, what are you sitting with? What's most present in your body, in your soul?
You know, one thing I've realized is I've had conversations with Monique a lot about death, as it's popped up throughout our lives together. We've almost been together, we've been together since we met, 20 years plus. So it's been a while, and you know, as decades peel off, people pass away. It's what happens. So we've had a lot of conversations about it, and how, you know, how it hits you based on a number of different things. So one of those things is how many deaths you were around when you were young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one thing that I realized, like, as it compared to her life, was she wasn't around a lot of people dying when she was younger. And, you know, me, I have a kind of, she has a smaller family, so I think that's part of it. I have, like, a pretty big family, so, and they all kind of were localized around the greater Boston area, or, like, a vast majority of them. So, like, I had a lot of great aunts and uncles pass away, and when I was younger, you know. And my grandfather's passed away when I was very young. But then also, I was like an altar boy in a Catholic church. So I actually like served services for funerals. Like I, I worked funerals like pretty frequently. And weddings and stuff like that too. But like the funerals, like there was a lot of funerals. Like people are just, you know, I don't think I really processed that as a kid, but like talking to Monique over the years about it, I realized like, wow, I was actually around a lot of death
when I was young.
Like it wasn't, it was normalized, you know? And not just death, like, but the process of grieving and, you know, being around funerals, being around families, seeing what they have to say, how they react. And the rituals behind burials and the rituals behind mourning. So it had always been very, like, normalized. I guess that's the only way I could put it for me. So, like, when I'm adult in my life and, you know, I think it was Monique's grandmother passed away, her father's grandmother, her father's mother, and she, it hit her really hard because I think it was really the first person that was close to her that passed away. So yeah, we got to talking about that because a lot of questions pop up when people pass away, and a lot of the pain is because of that. It's not all about, like, so part of it is not like you losing that person and you are like, where are they going, you know, and how does that relate to my faith and my beliefs? But then part of that is also just like you're confronted with the most human thing, which is life and death. You're confronted with this inevitability that it will happen to you and everyone you love at some point.
Yeah, I'm wondering about what you were talking about in terms of, you know, your lived experience and being around so much death, and you kind of lifted up, you know, not just the fact that people have transitioned, but the rituals that are connected to loss and mourning and what you're able to visually see and also like be in the space and witness and feel and think about, are you, is the result of that something that is aiding to you in moments of loss because you had that experience? Or, you know, this is focused on Nana. Is it, or does that not matter that you've had that exposure because this feels different? Like, talk to me about that.
Yeah, so that's a great question. I believe it to be helpful. However, one of the other things, the other part of what Monique and I have discussed as people have passed away over the years, is every death that you experience in your life has a different flavor to it. It has a different emotional response, I believe. And I think it has to do with the proximity of the person to you, like your relationship with them. Because it's like, you know, it's kind of a cliche, but when people say that part of you dies with them, I think that's an expression that is true. I don't know if I agree with the fact that it dies. You know, like that part of them dies in you. I think it, there's also a potential, like something does die and something grows at, if you let it also.
Yeah.
Like as Nana passed away, you know, I had a very close relationship with her. Like, you know, she raised me, not in the way that some, some people who maybe lost parents at a young age and they were raised by their grandparents. So they basically, their parent grandparents took over the role as mother or father. You know, my mother and father were very present. I'm very grateful for them in my life. But I spent a lot of time with her. You know, she watched me you know, they worked a lot. They worked very hard. They went to night school. My parents were very busy during my upbringing. So I spent a lot of time under the care of her when I was younger. So
when you talk about like proximity, like you got folks that have grandmothers, and then you got folks that have like grandmothers. Like right. Yours was the latter.
Yeah.
So like my experience, you know, I lost my grandmother about 16 years ago, and there's a piece of it that that was felt for sure. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have that proximity in the ways in which you had, and so that sits and feels different for you. And what you're explaining right now is that deeper connection, not in a way that like she raised you and your parents weren't involved, but she was also very much a part of that picture.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, like on one of the more powerful things, I gotta say, you know, she taught me how to love. Like, not that my parents, both of them, showed me a lot of love, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's like anything you learn, there is just certain things that you learn and they deeply become a part of who you are for some magnetic reason. Like, it's not really intellectual. It's hard to intellectualize a lot of this stuff because it's experiential,
mm-hmm.
And it's spiritual. So, like, I mean, she taught me how to love. Like, the way that she loved made sense to me as a person. So, like, me, yeah. So I love like she loved. Like, that's how I look at love. Like, love is an action. You know, she was like, oh man, like she, like, I'll give you an example, right? She, like, when I was like in middle school, I got honor roll in school for like all the way to like seventh grade.
Yeah.
And then I started, you know, being a little rambunctious, getting in trouble and stuff. But I was in like seventh grade and I always showed Nana my report card. Right.
Yeah.
And it was always like she was so happy when I got on a roll, and cause she was a teacher. So she was so happy. And this one time, you know, she hit me with some money. She hit me like $5-$10, be like, yo, I'm so proud of you. And this one time I got like all C's, and it was the first time. And I brought it to her, and I was so scared to like give it to her. And she looked at it, and she was like, I am so glad that you are not one of those kids who gets all A's and B's. And I was like, what? I was like so confused. I was like, I don't. And she's like, because that wouldn't be you, and you're perfect the way you are, and I love you for who you are.
Yo, like, Nana might even like been reading into the sense of like the nonconformity, the rebellion. You know what I mean? Like it's always like the dopest ones that don't get it perfect every time. Cause
that's a good question. Cause she was like I don't know if rebellion would be something you put next to her name, knowing her. But like, there's definitely ways to rebel and rebelling against like these ideas that you need to put a lot of pressure on a young person in order to get them to or to feel bad about themselves,
yeah.
to be able to succeed. That was not her, for me at least, you know. And I acknowledge too that, like, you know, she was my grandmother, so like there's different relationships people have with their grandkids and they have with their kids. Like,
yep.
They put, you know, like even me with my own kids, like my oldest, I put way more pressure on him early on than I've learned to do with like Theo right now, mm-hmm. you know, like I've you kind of learn things like that. But anyway, she when she said that to me, it was so life changing for me. And then I realized, like, as I've become a teacher and I've thought back on that and how she was that way to me and my cousin Caitlin, who also was like very much raised by her and raised in the way she loves, you know, she just was so accepting of who we are. Like she built up my self-esteem, you know.
She was accepting the full you. I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
in terms
she made
the
me
C's. It's like,
yes.
Yeah, that's
like, she made me realize that, like, I don't need to be exceptional. I already am.
Yo.
Like, you already are your unique, like, you're, no one is like you. So it doesn't matter about like your competition versus other people. You know, it's irrelevant, kind of. That's how she made me feel, you know. And then I felt, you know, it took me a long time to realize that. But when I look back to my process of growing and the way I think as an adult. Wow, it's profound. And then I go back to think about how she was a teacher, you know, and I was thinking about how many other kids did she make feel that way. It's such a beautiful thing. Like, I'm so grateful that she was in education, you know, because I'm sure that she brought that same sentiment to a lot of kids who were struggling in school. You know, she's an elementary school teacher. So, like, you know.
Word.
Yeah, she was a very special person to learn, and like that's an example of an actionable way to love somebody. It's to not look at these external reward systems and say that, oh, they're valuable and valid now, but to see who they are as a person, as a soul, and say you're important, you know, and that's love. And that's kind of how she, that's the way, that's what rubbed off on me, on how to love.
Yo, I could speak to this for sure in the ways in which that love spirit of Nana, you know, oozes off of you in the spaces that you enter. Definitely in the educational space, but also wherever you're located, you know, I've been able to stand firsthand to that love, and it's kind of neat to hear to me I feel like that's a bit of legacy, some Nana legacy, you know, some light left behind, some seedlings that, you know, that grew in you and that you're passing on to those that you touch. That's a special gift, that's a special gain, and a very necessary one. Let me switch modes, like within the same topic, and move you into like Nana-isms. Are there things that you can think back in your mind, like different sayings or different things that she would do that you would be like, yo, that's a Nana-ism right there. Like, she always told me this, or she always said that, or she always did this. Talk to me about that.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, for days. I mean, my dad brought this up to me the other day, but it's so true that she was very punctual. Like, she very, like, time was like, she was very cognizant of time, which is interesting for someone who lives as long as she lived, you know, to, like, she always wanted to know, like, what time you left, what time you arrived, what time are you going, we should be early. Like, she, you know, it's very important to her. But I realized she did that out of respect for other people. She didn't like aggravating other people. I think, ultimately, she wanted to just make others feel comfortable, and she didn't want to aggravate anybody. Another Nana-ism was, like, she'd say, let's have a feast, you can have a famine anytime. Which is so true. You know, because, like, she grew up in the Great Depression, so a lot of her stories to me were about growing up in the Great Depression. And she grew up in East Boston, you know, where the airport is now, Logan Airport. Like, that's, you know, where her, you know, she used to play in those streets, and it was like a beach at the end of the road, right in the Boston Harbor. Like, that whole area was a park, and she talks about how it was just like, we were so poor, and none of us knew it.
Yo,
like, and she's like,
that's real. When you're, damn, that has something to say about who she was with in those moments. I feel that, because I have a line, actually, in a piece. So when we was. I can't even recall the line right now, but it has to do with the fact, like, when we was poor, like, we didn't even know it.
Yeah, that's what she said. Like, I asked her, you know, like, I don't know, maybe like a year ago or two, I was like, you know, people are really anxious these days. People are, like, the world is really complicated, but there's, like, we live in a country that has so much wealth, and people just have so many options, and so all these things that we have, but, like, and I was like, do you think it was better? You think it's better now, or it was better then when you were poor? And she, like, without even thinking, was like, oh, it was better then. She was like, it was better then because you just had the people in your life to worry about and God, and you were grateful for having a good meal, and it was just simple. And you were grateful for having, you know, to go to the park with your friends and sit on the beach, and there was nothing complicated. So I, you know, I think about that a lot because, you know, that's, first of all, like, that is like when I say that, for example, if I say that, right, that's coming from a standpoint of privilege. I never been through the Great Depression. I never really had to say, you know, as much in my life I've had struggles, I've never had to say like, oh my gosh, like, how am I going to get food this week?
Yeah. Is it food or heat?
Like, yeah. That's never happened to me. So I say that from a standpoint of privilege, but I know she knew what she was talking about because she had both. And I know I accept what she said because I think when you take abundance, with it comes so many things like gluttony and pride and greed and like these other things, like start to, they don't have to, but they tend to seep in. When you don't have much, now, you know, that doesn't mean like someone who doesn't have much can't be in so much pain and agony and whatnot. But however, like, if you have strong faith, if you believe in a deeper meaning to life, if you believe in a deeper purpose, if you believe in God, if you believe in the Creator, if you look to that and you look to ancient wisdom as well, then you're solid, because you know, like, what really feeds you is things that feed your soul, not your belly. You know, like that's the material things in this world. Like, I mean, look, I understand, like Talib Kweli said, there's no atheists in foxholes. Like, you when you really are put in a position of like, you know, physical, real, natural turmoil, like nature has for us, without the abundance with which, you know, we currently interact with this world, then you, who, where else are you to look than the celestial? Where else are you to look than your spirit? And where else are you to look than to your ancestors, ancient wisdom, word, God, ancient texts? Like, these things, those are where you go. So that's how you know that everything else is superficial. And word, everything else, all that does is it creates a cataract on your eye and your ability to see and connect with God, you know? So she really taught me to seek God every day. She did, she prayed. She's a prayer warrior. She did her rosary constantly. She was just steady trying to connect with God all the time. And it showed in her actions too. Every interaction I've ever seen her have with somebody, you know, was coming out of a place of love. Not to say she was perfect. Like everyone else, you know, they have times where they're frustrated and angered and at their last wit, but man, her intentionality with being kind to others and giving to others and selfless was like really unmatched for me in my life with anyone I've ever spent time with. So, yeah.
What happens with, and I don't want to make this too technical, I do want to kind of keep this personal, but I think I need to know this technical part to be able to get to that personal part. How, what happens with the home? Because the home that I described at the opening of this is the one in which, like, you were in as a young boy. Like, that was, like, your home. That was, like, your home. So what happens with that, and how are you sitting with, like, I don't, actually, I need to know the technical part. Is that something that's going to be present for you to be able to enter?
I don't really know at this point, to be honest. There's, you know, there's, but one thing I will say, you know, it's not up to me. You know, it's my dad, my uncle, and my aunt. They're gonna make the decision, and I respect whatever they decide to do with it. Because this is what I can say for me is I have I have detached with my material connection to that house. It is my home because I've moved a bunch of times, so I don't have a house that I like grew up in outside of that house. That's the space. But it is the spirit of that house that has power over and in me. It's not the actual physical space.
And that lives present in you whether you're in the house or not.
It does.
In my mind, I was going to a place of like, you know, your grandma's house has a certain smell. You know, grandma's homes in general has a certain smell, a certain feel, like there's memories attached to each corner and grain.
Absolutely.
Space.
I mean, even my boys, you know, I mean, even like Aiden and Jordan grew up in that house in a lot of ways too. We spent holidays there and weekends and birthdays and all this stuff. We definitely spent a lot of time in that house, and they it's their home. I mean, to be honest, that home has been in their life even more than our home, because we've only lived in our home for 3 years. So that's, you know, that's our family home, and everybody who is, it's beyond our family too. It's like that home used to be very alive in like the 70s, 80s, and 90s. There would be parties there all the time.
Just popping at Nana's.
Like, yeah, like extended family, friends, they'd be coming over. People just drop by. Like, it was always live, you know? It's an If These Walls Could Talk scenario. You know, so I have feelings, but it's like I said before, I think it's just, you have to detach from any material connection. Like, all the good feelings that we have in that space is because of the people we spent it with. Because of the blessings bestowed upon us by God. It's not because those walls are those walls. They remind us, though. And I guess that's something that's a fear of not the house, but like when I experiencing death in general, like when I when I think about Nana, it's you just feel so strongly when they're gone that you're gonna, like, they're gonna fade from you.
Yeah, you don't want to forget.
Right. But that's what I was talking about before. There's a death in you, but there's also a birth, a rebirth. So, like, what I'm really trying to do and pray on a lot with Nana's passing is realizing she's not gone. Her physical body is, her vessel is no longer functioning. Her spirit, her soul is still with us. Absolutely. I mean, that is, I have zero belief that that is not the case. That, like, so when I say like a new birth and a seed that's growing from it, I think about, okay, now how is my spirit gonna grow as the result of hers moving on?
Yeah, I'm with that. I'm with that. The spirit of the ancestors.
Like, I feel her, like, in me, like more deeply than when she was here, you know, because she was in her. She would pray to me and talk to me and comfort me and do these things, but now her spirit is free. Her spirit is home in a lot of ways, in a deeper space, in a deeper a magnitude, in a more, you know, omnipresent way. When people talk about the Holy Spirit, when you hear about the Holy Spirit, like, if you don't know, I'll put you on game a little bit. You know, that is the divine thread that God connects. You know, if you're a Christian, you say through Jesus, right? But essentially, if you're not, I'll explain, the Holy Spirit is, you know, in many different cultures, it's that spirit that lives on, that is everywhere, that is through us, and it connects us to God. So if you're going to really seek God, what you're doing is you're really seeking with that connection to the Holy Spirit. So as you have people who pass in your life who had a significant impact on who you are, then that person is absolutely a bridge, I believe, to, you know, having a deeper relationship with God. You just gotta hold their spirit.
Thank you for all that. And thanks for being, you know, vulnerable and open to connecting and reflecting, and you don't know what questions I'm gonna ask. So let me know if I'm going into a space that isn't one that you want to be in.
Nah, not at all, bro. I trust you. You know, that's why, like, I wanted you to ask me these questions, and I wanted you to do this interview, because I know it,
Word.
There's nothing. Listen, I'm an open book.
Word.
I mean, I really try to be as much as I can. I don't.
Got you.
So, yeah.
We keep referring to Nana as Nana. What was Nana's full name? And who named her?
Rita. Her name is Rita. Rita Kennedy. I don't know who named her. That's a good question, you know.
How'd she spell it? R-I-T-A?
R-I-T-A, yeah. One of the thoughts I had when I first found out she had passed was, you know, she gets to meet my grandfather again. She gets to be together with his soul. She gets to be together with her siblings who all passed. You know, she had 9 siblings, and she was the last one to pass away.
How old was she?
She was 96. She's going to be 97 in a few months.
96.
So, you know, she had outlived a lot of people, so she got to be back with the spirits and the souls that she used to be with. And I was thinking that she gets to be little Rita again. You know, because she, for a long time, she's like been just saying, everyone I meet and everyone I talk to is younger than me. I don't, like, I just, as the years peeled off, she'd just be like, I don't know the last time I had a conversation with somebody older than me, you know? So she gets to be little Rita again, which I think is a beautiful thing, you know?
How are your sons sitting with this? And we also have to work in the context that we have Theo, you know, who hasn't been able to have the same experience. I'm sure he's felt the love and the, you know, the spirit is in him. He can't avoid that. But I mean, that's a different kind of experience for Theo than it is for your boys. How is the family doing? And you mentioned Mo earlier and the difference between your exposure and hers to death, you know, and how that's impactful, how you believe that's impactful to how you receive and process it now, based on your lived experience. So talk to me a little bit about all that. How's the family?
You know, Monique was very close with her. She loved her. Nana loved her, like, right away, right off the bat. And that's actually how my mom said she knew I was serious about Monique, because I brought her to see Nana. And I had never done that with any other, you know, person I was dating. I was like,
hold up, sidebar. Yeah. We're gonna get to the rest of it. Talk to me about that memory. Do you remember when you brought Monique to Nana?
And like, you know, to be honest with you, not vividly enough.
Not vividly enough to tell them to do the reaccounting.
Not really, you know. I just remember. So one thing I gotta say when I'm talking about Nana in general is my auntie Annette. I called her Auntie Annette. She was Nana's sister, Nana's younger sister, and she had passed away. Oh man, Jordan was one, so it was like 17 years ago. It's a while ago. She passed away. But they lived together. She lived in the house with my dad, and you know, she raised my dad as well, like another mom. You know, she lived, my dad and my Uncle Dan and my Auntie Maureen, they grew up in a house with their mother, their father, and their aunt, you know, and their aunt. I mean, Auntie Nat was just, a lot was lost when she passed away. Her personality was super strong, and like, she was just funny. She was just a funny person. Like, she always had me laughing, and she appreciated it when I would be like sarcastic or like, you know, like say slick.
So you get some of your, you got the love from Nana. You get some of your humor because you're mad funny.
No, that's funny. I do. I never, you know, that's the first time I thought about that. But I do feel like I have a little bit of Auntie Nana's humor, and like her way about her. She, you know, a lot was lost when she was passed, and I learned a lot about myself when she was passed. When Monique went to me, it was like me, both of them, you know, because they were both there, you know. So
she was me and Grandma and Auntie.
Auntie and that, yeah. I mean, Auntie, they were a duo. They were a duo. They went everywhere together. They were like, just so tight, so tight.
I mean, Monique is the dopest, so.
Yeah.
You can introduce her to anybody. Like,
yes.
They're receiving the blessing just as much as she may be.
No, absolutely. It's really hard for anyone to like. Like, for me, if anyone doesn't like Monique from...
I'm questioning you.
That's how it is. I'm serious when I say that. Like, I'm not just saying that because she's my wife. Like, she actually is, like...
Yeah.
She's just, like, a soft-spoken, very, very kind person. And her and Nana are really alike in a lot of ways because they're very, very mild-mannered, soft-spoken, kind, but they're very strong. And dare I say, hard-headed, but in a good way. Like, they are, when they believe something is true, like, you are going to have to really work on them to get them to change their minds, you know? So they hold their principles very tightly to their chest, and there's so much alike in that. And I feel like Nana saw herself in Monique, you know? And, yeah, she loved her from the bat. You know, and she's, you know, like, Nana was so grateful that I met Monique because she's like, she knew that I needed her. I needed Monique. Because I was a wild boy, like, those years leading up to meeting her. You know, she definitely tamed me. Like, you know, because I loved her so much, I didn't want to mess that up. And I know for sure that at that point I didn't have any relationships in my life where I felt that way. You know, outside of my family, but my family I felt like would love me no matter what I did or how crazy I was or what, you know, so.
And Monique is so loving and Nana is so loving, like love recognized love.
Yeah.
And they both deeply loved you.
Yeah.
So that's where it comes from. The memory, it's not all the fine details, but it is, once again, like, Nana exemplifying what it is to just, to love.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm going to remove the bookmark and come back to that other question around, just like, how is this sitting with family? How are they navigating this, and what are your feelings and thoughts around that?
Yeah, so like I was saying about Monique, she took it pretty hard, you know. She had a lot of tears when she first found out. And then Jordan and Aiden, you know, Aiden was kind of in shock, but he's okay though. He, you know.
How old is Aiden?
Aiden's 15.
15.
Yeah, so he definitely, you know, both of them definitely believe that she's in heaven. She's in a better place. You know, both of them know she's been through a lot. The last like 5-6 years she was battling cancer. You know, and she got it so late in life, which is just like interesting, you know. Like, like my dad said, one of the doctors once said, like, he asked him, like, you know, is this cancer or just her dying? And the doctor was like, what's the difference? Like, it's basically like, you know, it's like when there's just, you know, you're getting old and you're just, not your cells aren't recreating. But yeah, so Jordan said he's been prepared, but
Jordan's, you know, 18,
Jordan's,
right?
Jordan's 18, yeah. He said he's been prepared, but you know, he was sad too though. They were both sad.
He said that he's been prepared.
He said he's been mentally preparing himself over the last few years, you know. He cares a lot. He's a really strong, both of my boys are. Both of them care a lot. Like, I don't even say the word proud, but I'm just so happy that they are who they are. They are deeply caring people, and I'm so glad I'm their dad, and I get to be their dad. And Theo, like, you know, he's so young, but he knew who she was, like, and they had a lot of conversations on FaceTime. Like, I sent her videos daily of him.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a big joy for her. As much as I could, you know, I sent videos and pictures. Maybe not daily, but as much as I had to. Whenever I took a video, I sent it to her. Like, Monique would be looking through my videos and pictures of Theo doing cute stuff. And she'd be like, why didn't you show me this? I'm like, sorry, I sent it to Nana and I forgot about it. You know, like, I just sent Nana all the So Nana said she loved that, and that was a joy for her in her last.
Oh, good.
You know, couple of years.
Yeah. Let me ask this. What was your last interaction with Nana, and the last thing that you said to her that you know she received?
I mean, my last, I was over the phone, so, you know, that's, I guess, one of the hard things about losing somebody is, like, I'm like, I wish I got to say goodbye. Like, I didn't say, you know, I always would depart with saying I love her so much. She was, we would go back and forth when we talk, like, when we're saying bye, we would say I love you, like, a lot of times. It wasn't like I love you quick.
I love you.
Oh, I love you so much. No, I love you. It's like I love you, you know, and like she always say my name too. She'd be like, Matthew. She'd say, I'm your Nana. And, like, she'd leave a voicemail, she'd be like, Matthew, it's your Nana. That's cute, like your Nana. Like she's mine, just special just for me.
I love that. That just came up in the conversation. Hi, Matthew. It's your Nana.
It's your Nana.
Aw, I love that.
We got to see her over Easter. She came home from the hospital, and I went to Monty Maureen's house. She got to be with the whole family, and, you know, we took pictures with her. That was just, like, a month ago or so. And that was a beautiful experience, you know?
Mm.
She got to just be, like, she was so happy. She got to be happy, just surrounded by everybody. I'll never forget that, you know, because she had been in the hospital for months leading up to that. She hadn't been out. I got to talk to her over the phone. I text her, you know, and she has, you know, I have voicemails saved of her too, you know,
just
like
beautiful.
Singing me happy birthday. And like, so I need to like quadruple save those.
You got to join out right now. Like, I'm saving these.
Yeah. I sent her pictures of Theo, you know, she would just respond, like, I love seeing the baby and cannot believe he's so adorable and so smart. Keep sending me all the pictures you can.
Aww.
You know? Yeah. So I would just, every time I'd see Theo doing some cute video, and send it straight to Nana, you know? So I have a catalog of that.
Man, so I have a couple more things that we could go wherever we want to go with it, but I have to ask this because I'm a fan of food, and I make the assumption, and it doesn't mean that all grandmas can cook, but my experience has been like grandmas that I'm around, like they could do the thing. And so is that true for your grandma, and if so, like, what was the thing for you that was hitting for sure that Nana would, like, put together?
Well, everybody who knows me knows this already. Everybody in the family, at least. Like, I'm, like, the greediest person with the stuffing on Thanksgiving. Like, that's, like, she made this incredible stuffing. And I tried to, I had it. So, a couple Thanksgivings ago, we did it in my house, and Monique's family came over.
Yep.
And so I'm on FaceTime with Nana trying to make her stuffing, and it just did not come out right. I did exactly what you told me, but
can't replicate.
Oh man, this is
greatness
touch.
Like that.
Nah, her stuffing was incredible, and then, you know, she made like pasta and meatballs. She, you know, growing up in East Boston, she is a very like Italian community, so a lot of the food that she cooked really well was like authentic Italian meals, even though, you know, she's Irish. She learned how to throw it down, and make like really authentic Italian grandma sauce and meatballs and pasta and lasagna, all that. But her like sausage, peppers, onions, you know, slow cook sauce from scratch, chopping the tomatoes, all that. Like, she would just, that was so good. And I missed that because she hadn't been cooking in a few years. That's it. And then really too, she just would like, man, we talk about food, you know, like I said before, that have a feast, you can have a famine every time. She was always like trying to feed you like the whole time you were there. Like,
oh, she
you
was
must
that
be
grandma.
Hungry. Yeah. No, like, we just ate, Nana, like a half hour ago.
You know? That's like my mom's, yeah, always trying to feed somebody.
Yeah.
I believe she even did that when we we had to get to the airport, but like she was like, are you sure I can make you?
Yeah, she wanted to like throw out a whole meal for you, I'm sure. She made bacon and eggs for me every time I was over there. She made bacon and her eggs were incredible. And eggs is such a simple thing, but she... And then one time I finally got her to tell me like what she does, because like it's just scrambled eggs. Like, how is that? Why is this better than any other scrambled eggs I've ever had? You know, but she seasoned it a certain way. And she made, you know, she always cooked me toast.
Extra butter or something like that?
Nah, I can't give it away, bro.
You can't give it away? That's between you and Nana?
That's between me and Nana.
Fair. Fair.
Man, I'll make them for you.
Oh, that's done. Okay, cool.
I'll pray on it. And if she says, yeah, give it to Ryan, I'll give it to Ryan.
You're a podcast genius, and typically you're on the other side of the mic doing what I'm doing and kind of like facilitating, asking the questions, guiding. So I want you to think about the podcast. If you had the ability to do one with Nana, what are some of the things that you might... you might ask.
Yo, I wanted to mention this, so thank you for answering this question, because I had forgot. But, like, about 8 years ago, I actually sat down, and I did interview her.
Oh,
in this,
good.
In this, well, let me finish. This kind of hurts. This one hurts.
Oh, okay, okay.
But this is also the process of me letting go of the material world, you know, and realizing there will be, we will all have many interactions with Rita's soul and spirit in the future. But you know, what is it called? Maybe you know, but there's like interview. There's an application, and they play them on NPR every now and again, and it's like people interviewing.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
Their personal family and
friends. Yeah. Not Time Capsule.
No, StoryCorps.
There you go.
So shout out to StoryCorps. I need to bring that back in my life because, well, I guess I am, but this is like, you know, before everyone had a podcast.
Yeah.
It was like an application that was created. I think I saw a TED Talk on it. Like maybe like 12 years ago or something, and anyway it's like an application, StoryCorps, that you can upload an interview. It has everything. It's like almost like a outline, a blueprint for a podcast, essentially.
Yep.
Between you and a loved one, so just to open up a conversation about different aspects of your life, of their life, that you maybe never...
Yeah, NPR was like collecting those joints,
yeah,
too,
and they,
right?
I don't know if they still do, but they used to share them every now and again.
Yep.
on the radio. But it was like, the idea behind it was that you would, you know, most of history is captured by these, you know, seminal figures. They're like, you know, leaders and, you know, wealthy people and,
right,
and military, you know, people. And so, but like, what is the story of the average citizen? You know, and it's capturing that and it
archiving that.
Archives it, yeah. But it's very personal, though. It's like a deeply meaningful experience, which is just sit down and it gives you question prompts and it records it for you, and then you can upload it. So I did this with Nana, and I saved it, and I wasn't sure if she wanted me to upload it to the archive or not. She wanted to think on it. So I saved it to my phone, and you can save it to the phone on the app, like on the app, through the app, but not upload it to the archive.
Yep.
And it was a beautiful conversation about her childhood and about her father and her mother and her upbringing. And it was just like absolutely, like, it opened up so many, like, it just connected a lot of the stories that she had just anecdoted throughout the years.
Yeah.
And then I played it for her like a year later, and she was in tears. And I played it like live in her living room, where you sat my mom, my auntie Maureen. I think my uncle Dan was there, Monique was there, and we just listened to it. We just listened to me interview her on like a Bluetooth or something. and she was in tears, and she was just like, I never knew someone would care to listen to my story, you know? Mm-hmm. And she was like, she was so grateful for that. And something happened with my phone, and I never uploaded it to the archive, and then I lost the, it was like an old phone that I had, it wasn't in good condition. Mm. And it just like screen went blank, something like that. So I lost a lot of the data that wasn't uploaded to any cloud. So like if now if I log anyway, I'm not gonna get into it. It's kind of a soft spot, but
yeah,
sore spot. But yeah, I wish I still had that a lot. I'm glad that we did the experience. And I just, anyone who hears this, I would say, do that with your family member.
Yeah.
Like before they go, it's such a beautiful way. Like just imagine if you could listen to your, you know, great, 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 great grandmother talk about her life and her upbringing and the way she saw the world from like 400 years ago. Like,
yeah.
Imagine that. And that's essentially what you're doing for, you know, your future descendants.
And even imagine like what something like that does for the healing.
Right.
Contributes to the healing of individuals present now, right, that were like for you to be able to listen back to that interview right now in this moment,
right, and that's, you know, that's,
you
why
do have the, you do have the experience of actually having done that,
yeah, and that's why, that's why I wanted to do this, you know, that's what, yeah, prompted me to do this right here, is just to like, you know, I'm never, you know, I'm living until I don't, but I want to be able to capture like, you know, the emotional state that I'm in right now with her just having passed, because I want to stay connected with her, and I want everybody who loved her and who knew her to stay connected, to be able to stay connected with her. You know, I'm doing this for her, like, for sure. And thank you for being a part of it, Ryan. I appreciate you for interviewing me, because I don't know if I could just sit in front of a mic and just do it. I feel like I need to have a dialogue with somebody about.
I guarantee that you could sit in front of a mic and just do it. However, you don't have to, so why would you?
Yeah.
Because you got community, and I'm grateful that you would have this dialogue with me, and I receive gifts in the process of getting a deeper gain from Nana on top of the ones she's already provided me with. In the short time that I've been able to collide, I have the honor of colliding with her existence. So thank you for this. I had us in the context of the podcast, and my question was a hypothetical. You ain't got to ask a hypothetical, because I actually did it. I did one of those joints 8 years ago. But I still kind of want to live in the hypothetical, in the sense that if you had been able to do a podcast, you know, 3 years ago, and you were going to leave, like, we pretend like at the bottom half of the podcast, and then we could sign off and breathe after this, but I have to ask it. Imagine that on the bottom half of the, you know, the ending of this podcast, you were going to just let your Nana know, you know, what impact that she had on you. You're going to tell her some things that you need her to know, for sure. And I know that you spoke on the love joint, but I know that there's also more there. If there were like three things that you would just want to leave her with, that she definitely knows for sure from you, what would you tell her?
Seek God, seek God, seek God. That's, you know, I could break down a million different, like, sub, you know, specific things that she taught me in life, but they all connect to that. Have faith. Seek God, you know, like, get out of your own way, you know, because we stress too much, you know, and she taught me that, and she, and I say that with, like, you know, she, it's not as though she wasn't an anxious person. I think she was a very anxious person. She, like anyone else, had fears and concerns and things that stressed her out and worries. She worried a lot, matter of fact, but she was always trying to get the message across to me, and I received it, was that, you know, you get to be, you get to be a warrior for God, and you do that with love, and you do that with compassion, and you do that with sacrifice, and you do that with forgiveness, and that's an honor, you know. And I could feel her spirit flowing through me, I swear. And I, that's, you know, I got that from Nana. You know, my, that's everything. Everything else is like underneath that, if there's a hierarchy of what matters to me. And she taught me that, man. You know, so I'm forever grateful for her and our relationship. And I don't even want to say I can't wait till I see her again, because I want to connect with her every day.
Word.
I want to, you know, I want her to know, I want her to always know that, like, every single time I pray, it's because of her. When I meditate, it's because of her, you know. When I express my faith, it's because of her, you know. Like, yeah. And that's the biggest thing, man. She was great, and I'm so grateful for the physical time I spent with her, but, like, I really do just, I really, my deepest belief is just, like, we all of us, every human being on this planet need to really just stop, catch ourselves when we start being so stuck on our material frustrations, anxieties, and stresses and whatnot, things that are, you know, like she used to say, man, like, look, this is another little Nana-ism. She said that if a problem can be solved with money, it's not a problem. And that's a deep question. Like, you, and I used to, like, at first, when she say that, I'd be like, like, that's easy to say, but, like, what if you have no money, what? And then I realized, well, she did have no money for a long time, for, like, half her life. So what she means is that, man, whereas, like, there is spiritual warfare going on, you know, there are things that you cannot just physically will to happen.
Yo, I 100% feel that Nana-ism. That's like me saying, like, you know, I walk up to Nana and I'm like, oh man, I'm so stressed out, I can't, you know, my problem is so big. And she's like, what's the problem? I'd be like, I can't buy my new J's, you know. She's, I mean, like,
you can even go deeper with that, bro. Like,
but like the problem is that, like, I need to actually, the problem is deeper than the money. The money isn't, the problem is like my need to feel like I need that materialistic thing in order to be and feel a certain way.
That's the war.
That,
that's,
you can't
war.
Solve that with money. You right. You got to solve that with God and self-work. You know what I mean? Right. Like, so I feel that Nana-ism 100%.
That's it. I mean, everything, like, there's just, and you, matter of fact, you can't solve those real problems with material solutions, you know? Like, if you're going through a crisis emotionally or relationship-wise, like, you're going through a crisis that cannot be solved by how you change your physical interaction with the world. It has to be, you have to fight that spiritual warfare, and you really, and it behooves you to seek wisdom and truth and seek God, you know, because that's really what's gonna treat it. It's the only medicine, you know, the divine.
Yeah. I'm gonna bring this joint to a close, but it doesn't mean it can't be opened back up again, because I don't like to think of this being like, all right, it's ended and we can't, you know, we did the podcast, so there's no more reflections. There'll be more reflections that come up, and I'm open to open it back up if you're ever open. And in the close, also want to shout out our brother Lopez, who, you know, I don't believe in like coincidences. Also lost his grandmother. Mm-hmm. The same day.
Close around to the same time. I don't know what time either of them passed exactly. Nana would like to know. That's one thing my dad said to me. He was like, because Nana cared about time. He's, if you could talk to her now, she'd be like, what time did I pass away? I thought that was funny. But yeah, like Lopez, you know, he's my brother. I love you, fam. And it's not any way. I feel like there is no such thing as a coincidence. This is just my take on life. Mm-hmm. You know, we can explain things away, but we don't need to.
Right.
Because they're already explained. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing, and I hope that they get to meet in heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, become sisters. Lopez said that to me this morning. He said, you know, I hope they become sisters in heaven as we are brothers on earth.
Word.
I said amen.
I'm sending both of you, you know, brother Lopez and you, my brother Delaney, all the healing energy you need as you proceed to navigate, you know, the loss, but also reflect on all the gains. Yeah, I love y'all. That concludes this episode, the Rita, the Nana Rita episode. Peace.
Peace. Love you, Nana.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Matthew. Happy birthday to you. Love from your Nana. Love you, sweetheart. Give me a ring when you get a chance. Happy, happy birthday.